Thank you.
All right, and here we are at the fifth lecture, Washington, January 1960. I've got a little bit more to tell you about auditing than you'll know all about. And you'll have it taped, completely taped, over there on the machine. Make sure you know something about it, too. All right. You ran some processes today. You probably ruined everybody. It's a shame to waste cases like this, just to ruin them this way. It's a shame. Someday you'll have to run overts against cases, won't you? Everybody shudders on that one. End of session. Now, where we have a pre-clear, we should also have an auditor. It's desirable. It's desirable. But where an auditor is so afraid that he is going to commit an overt act that he just isn't going to move in and invade the privacy of the pre-clear's mind, we don't have an auditor. And where an auditor is terribly afraid that he is going to invade the privacy of the PC's mind, he somehow or other not is everything you tell him about this E-meter. And it just doesn't matter how many demonstrations, drills, arguments, familiarities you get on the E-meter, there's no sense in looking for a person's aptitude with electronic machinery as the place you clear up in order to run an E-meter. The place you clear up being able to handle an E-meter is the willingness to enter somebody else's privacy. Now, where the invasion of privacy is a national engram, you very often have difficulty with this here little machina called an E-meter.
One just shouldn't pry.
Well, you better learn how to pry, because if you don't learn how to pry delicately or roughly or otherwisely, you're not going to get anything done with the pre-clear. You're going to run yourself up some loses. But remember that if you start running too many loses, then you yourself are causing yourself some failures. You are causing the failures. When you start talking about, I'm sorry to have to level with you this way, really, but I'm not joking. I am sorry, because it sounds very invalidative as far as you're concerned. But I don't want your instructors in this particular unit to put up with any of this nonsense of how do we handle this meteor. You know, the person sitting there, you know, I just can't see the dial. Instructor has to come along and say, well, a meter is turned over. And you have to reverse it. And this is the tone arm over here. And then have to come back a few minutes later and say, and there you are, and so on. And you say, well, I just can't tell the rises from the surges. It's marked wrong on here or something of the sort. And the tone arm here just doesn't seem to operate properly. I'm telling you, we're wise to it. And what we're wise to is the fact that a reluctance to actually attack somebody else's mind is being manifested by an inability to handle an E-meter. Now, the way you get that way is quite creditable, by the way. The only occupational liability of a Scientologist is attack on discreditable creations. Now, as we go up and down the track, we find all sorts of myths and legends where this is the thing to do, and so you do it quite happily. But there is a liability to it, and you might as well understand that liability. There are certain ways to get around that liability. The basic thing wrong with a case, whatever you say about responsibility, cause, effect, or anything else, the basic thing wrong with a case is discreditable creation. That is the clue to a case. Now, a person's creations are confused with source. So you get the communication formula and the cycle of action all mishmashed. You think when you look at cause point, you're looking at create point. That isn't necessarily true at all. It's almost factual enough. Almost factual enough to pay some attention to. But not really. Cause distance effect is not create, survive, destroy. It's not. But they're so close together that most people have them confused. Axiom 10 and the cycle of action, identified with each other, form the primary point of aberration of cases. The identification between these two things. All kinds of nonsense about how if you create something, why it must survive, and if it survives, it will inevitably be destroyed. So therefore, if you say something, it survives across space, but the recipient destroys it. So therefore, if anybody creates anything, why, you will be destroyed. You get the idea. If you receive a communication, it means that you'll be destroyed at the receipt point. All of these oddities are oddities. But a person could face up to creations, but every now and then he creates a creation which he thereafter believes is discreditable. Now, you make a person guilty of an overt act, you're actually merely saying that he's guilty of a discreditable creation or a discreditable causation. Therefore, when the beginning of anything is bad, aberratedly, people tend to hang up on it. They're trying to withhold cause, withhold create. Now, I won't make any cracks about universities or coeducational institutions or anything like that. None necessary. We'll have to take these over someday and straighten them out. But it's almost forbidden to create anything in a university. If you think a thought of your own, or if you think a thought, you have to attribute it to something else. If in science you come forward with a cognition of some kind or another, or a new idea of something or other, one of the first, or you try to invent something, the first thing you're told, it's all been done before. You should realize that's an automatic response. It has no real bearing, in fact. It's an automatic response. That is the Achilles heel of modern science. They believe it's all been done before, and there's no originality possible anyplace. Well, originality, they think, must be something that is brand new. Now, inventing a mouse trap in 1860 and inventing a mouse trap in 1861 consists of the invention of two different mouse traps, simply because the time factor is different between the two. And if you came up with Newton's law of interaction as an original cognition, 300 years after the fact, you have not come up with Newton's law of interaction. You've come up with not the same law. You have come up with a physical law 300 years after the fact of Newton's laws. But you came up with a law. You don't have to think of a different thought just to have it be your thought. Man needn't entangle all of the significances of thoughts, you see, and mishmash the time factor involved in all these thoughts. I'll give you an example. I give you an auditing command, and if you go on throughout the remainder of your auditing career, which will probably be a very long one, whether you think it will be or not, you realize that 10 years from now, you sitting in an auditing chair saying, "What about a terrapin? Would you admit causing?" As Ron's command, if you've been doing this 10 years, you will have been washed out practically. As Ron's idea, so forth, you're just mixing up your time track. I can tell you an idea, but when you get the idea, it's your idea. You haven't even received the idea. You had to cause the idea after I told you the idea in order for you to have the idea at all. Think of that for a moment. And in view of the fact that you had the idea in a different moment of time than I spoke the idea, that didn't make your idea my idea. How come we've got to identify this way? This create, survive, destroy, and all that sort of thing is in operation here. You look too hard at this cause, distance, effect. If I tell you something, I'm cause. It goes across a distance. Therefore, you say, you're an effect. So therefore, every time you utter the auditing command, you are uttering an effect. Let's just try it. You see, it becomes ridiculous the moment that you go along with this. I mean, it becomes ridiculous. In the first place, as close as you'd get to inventing Newton's law 300 years after the fact, is you've invented a law which agrees with Newton's law. You're simply in agreement with Newton, that's all. And if you find an auditing command works, I guarantee you will use it. Why aren't you using some of the auditing commands you've heard earlier? Because you didn't find they worked as well as some of those you heard later. Very simple, isn't it? As far as originality is concerned, anything done is done in its own instant of time, from its own source point, and that which is done in an instant of time from its own source point is what was done in that instant of time from its own source point. It doesn't even have to be an agreement or not agreement, or it has no significance at all with regard to another cause point in another instant of time, right? You have to audit as your own cause point in your own instant of time in the session. And the more you try to wiggle out of responsibility for the session by saying, "Ron said to run it this way," the less responsible you're going to be for the PC, the less energetic you are in the entrance of the PC's mind, and the less effective you are as an auditor, because there can be no effect if there is no cause point. You got that? You never are going to get an effect point unless there's a cause point someplace. And if you in the session don't put a cause point there with every auditing command, and if that's not the auditing command, and if you're not intending to cause something with that auditing command, but you think I am causing it in some fashion perhaps, well, you're going to wind up with me auditing the PC, only I'm not there. Therefore, don't get tangled up when he comes up with a problem and you don't solve it. Well, don't be so dismayed because you weren't auditing the PC in the first place. Do you see that clearly? If you weren't auditing the PC, you certainly can't handle his problems. Every PC is different. And you could say that every PC is tough. Every PC is a tough case. As you know more about the mechanics of the mind, what's rising is your ability to resolve a tough case. Cases aren't going to get any easier. As you look over, agree with, and apply various understandings in Scientology to various minds, you'll eventually lose sight of the fact, perhaps, that all cases are tough cases. But I'll tell you how tough they are. They've been going on the track for many millennia. Trillennia. And nobody solved them. Now you come along and sit down in the office chair, tackle a case, and it solves. Well, that's quite interesting. That doesn't mean the case was any less tough. Merely means that you have not necessarily acquired, but you have picked up and regenerated and generated an understanding of the mind which permits you to move in on and crack the flinders a tough case. You'd be surprised at the amount of zing there is when you really knock a case this to flinders. And I don't think there's a person in the room at this moment who has ever knocked a case to flinders. Isn't that funny? Isn't that a horrible thing for me to say? Isn't that a fantastic thing for me to say? Because I knocked my first case to flinders just a few weeks ago. I'm always way ahead of you. No, you've improved cases. I never took a case before and simply bent it backwards until it cracked. With absolute total certainty on the PC's part that case was cracked. And complete and utter certainty on my part that was it. Wow! Why, not all the tinsmiths in Britain could have put the case back together again. And since that time, I've cracked a couple more. Now, we're talking on the order of magnitude of OT. Oh, yeah, clear somebody. Oh, yeah, make me better. Oh, sure. Matter of fact, a rather remarkable thing happened at the Congress party. A fellow came around and shook hands with me. He said, I want you to shake hands with me with this hand. Matter of fact, I was very touched by this. He said, I hadn't had the use of this hand or arm for many years. I got 16 hours of processing, recovered the use of my hand and arm, full use of it, full feeling in it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I said, well, when I meet Ron Hubbard, I'm going to shake hands with him with this hand. That's a nice big win, isn't it? That's a big win. Of course, it's a big win for me because somebody else did it. I mean, somebody's been heard. That's the big win. You know? But you've all pulled off some interesting improvements. You've all straightened out some of this and some of that. Some degree or another. If you've been totally unlucky, you haven't. But the usual run-of-the-mill activity of a Scientologist, he goes down the line, and every few cases, he suddenly pulls one off. He gets a case that looks pretty tough, and he straightens out something. Straightens out something remarkably well. You know, it goes zing, boom, click, and goes back into shape again, something of the sort. Somebody has had a bad, he's had a bad bout with alcohol, something like that. And hardly anybody can do anything with an alcoholic. And the Scientologist came along and he whipped this problem in alcoholism. He thought that was pretty good. Well, it was pretty good. But we're talking about a trillennia of case. We're talking about OT. You understand that? I'm not making nothing of this other. I'm saying that's terrific. But that is merely in the miracle line. That's just in the line of miracles. There have been miracles pulled off on earth before. To be able to do a miracle, that's fine. But here's a human being. He's now feeling much better. He's now able to function. He's now able to get around in life and maybe make some money and that sort of thing. Well, that's a win, and nobody's going to argue with that as a win. But that doesn't mean that you suddenly had a brand new human being sitting in front of you. With all of the patterns of misconduct that had been worrying this person, gone. Blown up. Oh, yes, with more work to do, with more smooth out to do, with this and that. But with you, with total certainty that you've just done it. Brand new person. You know, not necessarily suddenly, maybe over the grind of hours or days, you know, but all of a sudden you know, a piece he knows. Nothing ever going to slow this guy down again. He is on his way. Like a message in the hands of Mercury, he's been sent. When you do that, you come to grips with what you have been coming to grips with. And when you first do that, you're going to say, wow. Was I conceited before to think I could do anything? Look at this. Look how rough a case is. Look how involved a case is. Look how fantastically miscomputed a case is. Now, the cases around that haven't been gotten to wholly and completely and utterly and haven't been sent all the way, those cases have already been improved. They've already been bettered. They're satisfied with having been processed. They're happy with Scientology. And then you send them. Now, if you wrestle around forever with the idea that you're just going to make somebody a little more pleasant to live with or a little happier, if you think that from here on all you're going to do is a little bit of improvement, then somehow or another you're missing the boat. And I'm just trying to get your sights up. I'm not pulling the trick of giving you something tremendous to do that nobody can do and then letting you fail on it. That is not the trick I'm pulling here. That's an old whole track trick. You know, a skyscraper is standing there and somebody says, well, pick it up, you know. You say, "What? Pick up what up? This mat? No, no, that skyscraper. Pick up the skyscraper." You say, well, I... Me? Pick up the skyscraper? What are you talking about? Can't you pick up a skyscraper? Anybody of your life and station should be able to pick up a skyscraper. What's the matter? Aren't you feeling well lately? And of course, the gag is that nobody can pick up a skyscraper. And the person doing this knows very well that a skyscraper can't be picked up. That's how you set up people to lose. I'm trying to set you up to lose. If the most you ever do is simply improve people somewhat, you'll be doing just miracles. You will be doing more than has ever been done. But let's cock our sights just a little bit higher on this thing. Let's get that leaf wound up just a little bit. What I want you to go for here is the basic case computation. To recover the basic personality and purpose of the individual, just like it says in Book One, to a point where that person can exert and accomplish that basic personality, that basic purpose, just like it says in Book One. That's where I want you to go. And I'm sure not leaving you in a big mystery of how to go about it. And I'm going to tell you now how to go about it. One, be willing to be cause. Be willing actually to cause a change in the PC and really cause a session. Be willing to be cause. Two, break down the cases, overts and withholds, which will interrupt two-way communication with the auditor. Boy, did I just have one just today. I was doing some auditing today. I'd had a flop session about two nights ago with somebody, and I wondered why this flop session. So I got a hold of this person. I gave him another session. I found out they were not in two-way communication with the auditor. You talk about the old master flopping. It's a very good joke on me. I've given them a 45-minute session without inspecting the fact whether they were in two-way communication with the auditor, and they picked up four or five little overts and withholds. And they were out of two-way communication, and they were blowy in the session. So I just wrapped the session up because it was going overtime. Anyhow, and caught the case a couple of days later. And I said, well, we'll just fix up the two-way comm. I just spent about, I don't know how many hours today, about 4 hours today, just straightening out two-way comm with this PC. That's all, just straightening out two-way comm with the PC. 4 hours. I thought it was already straightened out with this PC pretty well. But the auditing I had done in the interim had raised the PC's idea of what two-way comm was, and the PC was now shutting down two-way comm from this higher level. You get the idea? I mean, it was very interesting. So as you go along, you will have to continue this step I've just given you. Get off the overts and withholds to the end of establishing two-way communication. That isn't something you do at the beginning of the case and forget about. That's something you keep doing. Got that? That's the establishment of a session, whatever else you want to call it. The next step there is examine case for field. And if there is a field which obscures the case's ability to perceive pictures, knock it out with responsibility right there at that point. Knock it out with responsibility. Turn on this person's pictures. Get them up to PT, just like it says in Book 1. Knock it off on this responsibility factor when you have the PC and PT. Okay. What picture are they going to have in PT? They're going to have a picture of you or the room. That's what they're going to have. Within the last day or so, that's good enough. Now, the next step. Of course, you know that early step on overts and withholds and so forth requires some responsibility, you know. You can't run off overts and withholds without responsibility, so you're writing this down. You add, run responsibility on these overts and withholds. That's so well understood that I just missed it in passing. All right, maybe the person didn't have a field and was in PT. If so, you omit the last step. And you start digging for discreditable creations. I don't care how you describe them. That's the technical phrase. That's technical jargon. A discreditable creation. You very often find the first sexual experience something of this character. The first story the writer wrote that was flopped. The discreditable creation. You find it and run responsibility on it. Now, you sometimes have red herrings thrown across your track while doing this. This girl says she had her first affair when she was 15. And when she was 20, a man jilted her. And that's now what's wrong with her. And you start to run responsibility on this first affair at 15. You don't get any place. Hardly enough affair there to bother with, you know? But something must have happened between that first affair and the jilting at 20 that was a discreditable creation. You get the smartness of the thing? If you pick up the first discreditable creation along this particular line, and it doesn't do anything with the case at all, then you haven't got it. There's another one, and it usually is totally not ised, or is totally in view. There's no halfway mark. It either sticks up like a sore thumb or it's totally disappeared. They have to be clever to find that sort of thing on the second dynamic one, you know. I saw an auditor fool around one day on a case. This was an interesting one. Got off a bunch of overts and withholds. One of them, by the way, you just better learn to face the seamy side of life as well as the better side of life. Just broaden the wavelength on which you operate. Learn to confront the more sordid and the more beautiful alike. Stop running a 2,500 cycle telephone conversation. Look at life. See, this is broaden it out. Life's broader than we've been looking at it, you know. People are capable of more sin and more hunger and so forth than is normally socially admitted. And everybody's capable of experiencing more joy and more beauty than is normally admitted. And there's a coordination between those two facts. And in finding this first discreditable creation in this lifetime, you are not necessarily cracking the case down the middle. But you're certainly lightening it up considerably. Person will feel a lot better. This is one of these feel a lot better propositions. Something like what apparently you might call a chronic somatic or something like that. They'll tell you it's the chronic somatic. It isn't. It's from somewhere else usually. But they feel a lot better. The chronic somatic is apparently in this thing and so forth. And they read a lot into this first discreditable creation of some kind or another. Actually, that's almost Q&A-ing with Sigmund Freud. If Sigmund Freud had known a little bit more about minds and people, he would have expressed himself somewhat along those lines. He would have said the first discreditable creation of the individual is aberrative. And if this can be recovered, and what did he call it? Not exhausted. Forgotten what he called it. Ventilated, I think it was, translating from the Austrian. You cats had it made. It's not in the language of the period, but that's give you an idea. And of course, after 7 years of chatter, some psychoanalysts are still maundering around about it. Instead of an e-meter, they communicate the PC down into no havingness. They let the PC over-communicate. They do the auditor's code all in reverse, and so forth. I added up the things one time in psychoanalysis that you shouldn't do, the number of things that were in psychoanalysis that you just shouldn't do. And I wound up with a total reverse of the auditor's code. It was the darndest thing you ever saw. It was just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, that's not a condemnation of psychoanalysis. I'm just saying, don't stray in this direction. I'm throwing this in at this time. Somebody's going to say sort of like, oh, you like psychoanalysis? What are all you have to do is find the psychic trauma. There's no trauma involved usually in this first discreditable creation. There's hardly any injury involved. It's not worth worrying about. Now, I wouldn't go chasing any engrams. Just try to find that first discreditable creation, and you'll get your first win, and you get your PC with the first win. Said at the Congress that previously we hadn't had much zing. I mean, most religious movements and great human movements, that sort of thing, why they were sort of a shot in the arm. No matter whether they degraded or expunged or whatever they did, they gave somebody a little emotional shot in the arm. Well, you're actually into the field of shot in the arm when you get off somebody's overts and withholds. The fellow feels sort of dizzy, but he feels different. He feels changed. He's gotten a lift. Well, you get that first discreditable creation off, and you certainly have given this person a lift. It's an emotional experience. So far now, everything done for the PC adds up to a bit of an emotional experience. He feels different. He realizes he has some hope. All right, got that step there? Find that discreditable creation. Might be buried clean out of sight, and might be sitting right on sight. As a matter of fact, I had a PC one time do nothing but dramatize this first discreditable creation. Was dramatizing it solely, only, and totally in the auditing chair. It was the darndest thing you ever saw. Wild. But until I pull the overts and the withholds off of many other sections, why, it didn't start to lift either. I had to get a lot of overts and withholds off and a lot of responsibility run before I get this first discreditable creation lift. Well, this is just sort of like getting the fellow headed for the bottom of the ladder. Not really getting a foot on the ladder, but getting him headed in that direction. You'll find a lot of things PC's worrying about and so forth evaporate along about this time. Well, now, if that's as far as you went, just as much as you got there, if that's as far as you went, well, you'd be in business. You'd be in business because people would feel a lot happier. They would have had an emotional zing. They could come back and have it done all over again in a few years. See? Artistic rehabilitation, you make an artist feel a lot better when you locate the first story that was rejected. The first painting that was criticized. In this lifetime. Musician. First time he ever gave a performance, you know, age 9, in front of the neighbors or something, you know. Just locate that, but wound up to be, apparently, a discreditable creation. That's the common denominator of such experiences. Well, you can go ahead and locate several of them if you want to and run responsibility on them. Of course, you get a zing out of each one. He'll just go up the line just a little bit further on each one of these things. I hate to tell you that you're really not getting any place yet. You're just setting a case up to be audited. You got that? But the basic goal of this fellow might be to paint a great painting. The basic goal of this fellow might be to get so that he could work the way he used to work. And he knows he just used to work hammer and tongs. And this is what he wants out of auditing, is get so he could work the way he used to work, or something like that. So your next step there is to check with the PC as to whether or not you're going in the direction of his goals. You say, I'd take a long time to get to goals, because you're going to run rudiments every session and goals and so forth. Let's have a long conversation about this. Let's find out what this PC really wants to get rehabilitated. Now, you could do one of two things here. If you can't spark long and blue with total genius and just wrap this case up, bang, which nobody's going to expect you to do for a while, you get that goal factor there started by finding the first discreditable creation on that goal line and run responsibility on it. You got the idea? Well, he's a boilermaker. See? And when he was an apprentice boilermaker, man, he made about the lousiest boiler anybody ever saw, and everybody laughed like mad. You get the idea? Well, let's get the responsibility on that. Almost inevitably, he started his career of boilermaking, or the career which adds up to the great painter, the great this, or the great that. In this lifetime, you'll find this first rendition was a fiasco. And that, of course, moves up into survive, because he's on the cycle of action, don't you see? And the confounded thing is, what's surviving? Doesn't matter what he did since, everything he's doing since is colored to some degree, you see, by this first fiasco. You get this first fiasco off, and it stops persisting. And immediately, his ability to perform clarifies enormously. So that goal should be followed with a second search for a discreditable creation with responsibility run on that. Got it? All right, now don't think that you've solved the case yet, because you haven't gotten started. You just haven't gotten started on the case. You just kind of set the PC up as willing to have something happen. That's just about all you've done at this point. So, realizing that, the next immediate step should be a checkover with the case about the desirabilities of improvement. General improvement. Let's get this thing whipped. Because you're going to run into cases that tell you they don't deserve to get better beyond a certain point. And when you threaten this case with total recovery, it's just received just that, total threat. Well, you better get that one off. Do you deserve to get well? This is a kind of a line of patter on this. You know, the basic overt act is making people guilty of overt acts. That's the basic and fundamental overt act. Do you deserve to get well? Well, there's two ways you can tackle this thing broadly, but the best one is to look over his chronic somatics, his case condition, and so forth. And if this case has been awfully mulish and very difficult to get along with, you just better decide that his condition is making somebody guilty, and that he, quote, needs his condition to make somebody guilty. So you run some kind of a line of questioning as to who would be made guilty by his condition. And this is a patter-chatter line. It isn't, think of somebody that'd be made guilty by your condition, thank you. Think of somebody be made guilty by your condition, thank you. No, that had nothing to do with it. You just better unwound up doll right about here, because most of this stuff requires a good, hard steer. Of course, when you're giving a repetitive command, you want to be able to sit right in there and give it perfectly. But between two repetitive commands, you'd better also learn how to discuss the matter with your PC if he seems to be slipping out of session. And if he's had a cognition, you certainly better get smart enough to make him repeat it a couple of times. How do you make him repeat it a couple of times? How do you make him go over something that's still quivering on the needle? Well, you just ask him to look it over some more. You ask him, is there any overt acts against anybody in that one? Would it make anybody guilty? Seems to be hanging on to it. Who would this make guilty? Seems to be hanging up. It's still on your meter here, see? Don't expect it to clear by magic. It won't. And he says, and I often have the compulsion to blow up the whole town. And I don't know where that comes from, you know. But I just have had that feeling. It's ever since I walked out of that advertising agency when they wouldn't take on my product. Ever since that time, I just had a feeling like, I never go to New York, you know. But I just had a feeling like I just like to blow up the whole blasted zone. And I think about that, somebody says, New York, and I just think about that and so on. And ever since I walked out of that advertising agency, I just had that thought, you know. And this thing is still quivering on the thing as an answer to one of your auditing questions, see? And it's still going. Well, don't walk off and leave it. Don't be a wound-up doll. You're not a robot. At least you're a doll. Clear it down. Have a discussion about it. Has he been withholding this from anybody? That's an awfully obvious question to ask, isn't it, at that point? You been withholding this idea of blowing up New York? Well, I've been withholding it from nobody but my wife. She's a New Yorker, you know. Sometimes it just drops right out, right at that point. Boom. You say, well, how do you feel about that now? I feel about, well, that's all right. You could have sworn 2 seconds before, you see, that he was just about to blow apart. You asked the right question at the right instant regarding that. Of course, it'd be another line of approach. He walked down to the advertising agency and so forth. The obvious question is, who's he withholding it from? Who's it an overt against? And would it make anybody guilty? Those are the three obvious two-way calm questions. Stated one way or the other. Who's he been withholding it from? Who would it be an overt against? Would it be an overt against anybody else, you know? Would it be an overt against yourself, you know, if he keeps missing on this one? Yeah, I guess it would be, because I own some property in New York. Yeah, it would be an overt against myself. Good. Will it be an overt against the advertising agency? Oh, boy. Hey, that's a new thought. You know, hell it is. Well, would it make anybody guilty? Yes, sir. Oh, no, it wouldn't make anybody guilty. Well, he says it wouldn't make anybody guilty. It wouldn't make anybody guilty. That's it. The idea, no reason to punch him around. His level of responsibility isn't up high enough to realize that there's some other computations on the thing. You're not going to force his responsibility up by making him irresponsible, are you? No, it's what the PC says, what you can get the PC to say, what you can get the PC to compute. It's his case, you see. But those are the three positive approaches, you see. You don't necessarily go 1, 2, 3, you know. You just hunt and punch and hit and miss with these things, you know. We got someplace with who is it an overt against, you see. You say, well, did you ever withhold that from anybody? He just told you something. I never withheld it from anybody. Never occurred to me to withhold from anybody. Well, that's fine. Well, would it make anybody guilty? Would that make anybody guilty? Yeah, it wouldn't make anybody guilty. It's just an overt. Well, who's an overt against, did you say? Who'd you say it was an overt against? Oh, an overt against sanitation department. They'd have to clean up the whole town, the breeze. So. All right. That makes sense to you. Seems to make sense to PC. That's all right. Although, remember, you have the right to satiate your curiosity on some of his answers. That's one of the things you must not forget. Because you fall out of two-way communication with the PC to the degree that you let him say and do things that you don't comprehend. You get along a lot better. He might get snappish at you, but you'll still do better with him snappish at you than you not being interested. You say, how about this advertising agency? What advertising agency? Advertising agency. What were you doing in an advertising agency? That's the question that came up at that moment to you. What were you doing in an advertising agency? I thought you were in the street sweeping business. No, that was different. That was different. I was, and all of a sudden he tells you, well, you see, during that time, I owned a business. Went bankrupt afterwards, and my wife got the business afterwards, and was very involved, and he's never thought to tell you about this, you see. And somehow or another missed this. And when you don't understand anything, rely on your own intuition. If you don't understand this sort of thing, it's probably because there is something there to be understood. I don't care how much you yip and yap and gnaw at a PC. Err in that direction all you want to. Just don't err in another direction. Well, he said it, but I don't really understand it. But I'm running all right, and he's running pretty smoothly, and I don't want to upset him, and I'll just sit here and utter the auditing command again and so forth, and I'll hope that a few questions later and so forth, why, he'll grab the brass ring, you know, and give it to me. You're kind of stuck right at that point in the session. He senses it. Oh, no, it's much better to get an advertising agency. What about an advertising agency? Mention anything about did you own the agency? No, I didn't own the agency. I was going to employ the agency to exploit my dog biscuit company. The dog biscuit company. When did you own a dog biscuit company? Well, I owned a dog biscuit company. Yeah, well, when was that? Well, that was in 1939. I owned a dog biscuit company just before the war. You know, just very offended sometimes. You know, I've told you all this. The guy never mentioned it, you know. I lived in New York. Up to this time, you thought all of his life he lived in El Paso, see? The painful explanations a PC will go into sometime with what patience, what gnawing patience, you see. Well, all right, but it was like this, you see. It generally covers up something he feels pretty gritty about. Get some air into it. Now, you keep this going. But basically, you want to find out if he deserves to get better on this step that I'm discussing right here. I was talking about interjected communication amongst the auditing commands. But on this one, you just better take it up whole cloth. You better find out if he deserves to get better. And sometimes, if he appears to be a kind of a creepy nature, or a little bit upset and so forth, you could take this up much earlier. And on any case, you could take it up at any time that you wanted to. Does he deserve to recover from his first marriage? He says, no. Well, then, obviously, your next question would be, would that make anybody guilty? He thinks it over for a long time, you see, and he finally says, well, my first wife. Yeah, that'd sure make her guilty. Well, you say, well, how many things about the marriage and the hangover and so forth would make her feel guilty? Let's list them off. And he says, brrrr, and there goes one marriage. It's just like unlocking the safe on some of these things, you know. But you want to know if he deserves to recover. That's the interesting question. Does he deserve to get better? Now, he's been getting better all the time, but you can't guarantee up to this time that he won't relapse. You can't guarantee he won't relapse. See, this is the make-break point. He might be better for years. But remember, most of the computations are still sitting on this case. You're going to clear this case running one lifetime. Oh, yeah? Oddly enough, I'd better not run down this one little fact that I've been observing lately. That any instant of time is any instant of time. And anything done in that instant of time benefits the whole of time. To be a little less esoteric about this thing, I mean very factually, that if you run a present time problem extremely well, you're apparently liable to do a lot for something way early on the track. Because time is an artificiality. And a case, we've understood too well cause-distance effect, you see, and create, survive, destroy, and that everything early on the track aberrates everything later on the track. Well, that has truth in it. That has truth in it. But you don't have to Q&A with it totally. Just because the preclear keeps on believing it is no reason you can't take an instant or an incident out of his life and work it extremely well and have him recover. It might be a much longer job, don't you see, to work the present lifetime over beautifully, but you might work the present lifetime over gorgeously and have him recover from a lifetime 3,000 years ago, see? It can work the other way, too, because it's not necessarily true that the whole thing is rigged according to the Thetan's consideration. The fact of the case is that any instant of time is any instant of time, and any improvement of a case is any improvement of a case, don't you see? You don't have to pay as much attention right at this time, according to some of the researches I've been doing lately, to get early and clear it up. I found out that if you, knowing the answers, this of course only comes to view when your technology is so overwhelmingly good, you see, that you actually can knock apart an incident no matter where it is in time. You can knock apart an incident that's day before yesterday just as thoroughly as you can knock out the first one on the chain of such incidents. You can take the 15th automobile accident and run it just as flat as the first automobile accident. You get the idea. Take you a bit longer. It wouldn't be as successful, you see, as you wouldn't get the phenomenon of sweeping up all automobile accidents. But it'd improve the case. And that's something you mustn't overlook. Anything done well on a case improves the whole case. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And it'd be better to handle what you're handling very well than to go chasing for something that would get more benefit on the case. Because anything you do on the case well improves the whole case. Got the idea? You're working on a Thetan, after all, who isn't even on the time track. And anything you do to improve his vista and view, of course, better. Now, we didn't have the processes that we could do this with just a year ago, see. We were still sufficiently weak in our push that we had to pick the first incident on the chain, you see, in order to get a release and all that sort of thing. But you can pick the 165th time he was beheaded now and run it out just as neatly as anything you ever saw. By the way, you can also today run a motivator 100%. You can take a motivator and take all the overts out of it. Yeah, you can strip a motivator of all the overts. And if you really work it over and saw it back and forth and make sure that he really admits these things, and he's really willing to, and that he isn't admitting them accusatively, you'll see PCs doing this. Well, I could admit causing the bridge to fall down because that would serve them right. This is responsibility. But you actually basically could run all the overts out of a motivator and have it drop out. And even though there are motivators, you see, that go hand in glove with overts as engrams, you see, there's an engram that is the overt and an engram that's a motivator. See, and you'd better run the engram that's the overt. They go together, see, looking at whole track phenomena. The overt might occur in the year 83 B.C., and the motivator, what was done to the P.C., you see, he beheaded somebody in 83 B.C., and he was beheaded in 1205 A.D. Well, you pick up 1205 A.D. of a beheading scene, that's the first scene you'll get of his overt. Of course, the smart thing to do is to go, not run that one at all, but go scouting on the track, if you're running engrams, to find the overt engram. And run that. But today we're sufficiently good that we could run the motivator right off the top of the pair. We've never been able to do that well before. It always was lengthy. The fast way to run an engram is find the overt that makes it the motivator. But anything done well on a case improves the case. And anything done sloppily on a case tends to deteriorate the case. If you work on those maxims, why, you're all set, you see. If you sit down to clean up two-way calm with this PC, you see, and clean up overts and on auditors and PCs and so forth, and you just go to town, you pick up all of the people that would make guilty if he stayed stuck in sessions, and you pick up all the overts, and you pick up all of the withholds, and you just patch the case up and patch the case up, you see, so it can be audited. Next thing you know, the guy is almost clear. You've just done that very well, see? So what you do, do well. Now, on the list I've been giving you at this moment, you are at the make-break point of a case. You've merely got to clean up the willingness of the PC to recover. And in searching all of the unwillingnesses to recover and all the people it'd make feel guilty, very often the whole case computation will fall out in your lap. But you've no more than gotten to the willingness of the case to recover when you've done all of those steps. It's not necessarily a long job, but it is a thorough job that you must approach this thing with. And it's approached intelligently. It's not approached hit or miss. It's approached with the auditor at cause, with the auditor willing to just knock this thing apart and set somebody up and put them in business. Done that way, why, you'll have big wins. Of course, to the steps I've got right here, you'll find that most of the person's facsimiles and everything, if you just do the steps which I've given you so far, will have keyed out, fallen out, so forth. He'll be registering, usually. He'll be registering at his clear reading, and you would have somebody that would pass an HCL clear test. But that's not what you're here to learn, necessarily. You're just going to have to do that to get a case going, up to a point where we can break the case. I'll take that up in the next hour. Thank you.